Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is a Good Stories Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Yes, indeed. And this is episode number 81.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Shower, a movie from China, correct?
Yes, 1999.
In Chinese, it is Zizao. X-I-Z-A-O is the original title.
I've never even looked at that.
I will be translating everything that Julie says into Chinese today.
Oh, bu hao. I took Chinese in high school.
Oh, really?
For a year.
Wow.
And it left me with real love of the culture, although no practical Chinese, just enough that when they're talking and they're mayo, and I'm like, oh, I know, they put that into a sentence for us, but here's what it really means. And my husband very patiently, oh, good.
Nice, nice.
But it was enough that when the two brothers' names came up, Da Ming and Arming, Da means big, so it's big brother, and number two brother, R is two. Second brother.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's kind of it. And that's when I went, oh, wait, that's a naming thing where old school, you know, where you first daughter, first brother, second brother.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just looking up the director. His name is Yang Zhang. Z-Z-H-A-N-G.
Right.
Director, he looks like he's got 7 movies. The latest one is called Full Circle.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, is if he was still directing things.
2012, it says.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't think of looking for anything by this director. we discovered this, oh gosh, I don't remember exactly when, and it became a family favorite. And we rented it, I don't know how many times before I finally bought it for my husband because he loves this movie so much.
Yeah, it is very good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really simple story. When we got done watching, I was like, I know there are things to talk about, but it's like a lot of very similar themes. And, you know, my husband said, but aren't those the themes that are worth talking about? And I went, oh, well done, sir.
Yeah, and I think that's really the theme of the whole movie is, you know, what is worth your time? What's truly important?
Yeah. Right?
Kind of a retelling of the prodigal son story.
Yes, it's about, very quickly, it's about a bathhouse in an old part of Beijing and run by an old man, old Liu, who has been running it forever, as far as you can tell. He's the father, and there's a brother who has been away. He's obviously very successful. He's wearing a nice suit. He comes in. His younger brother greets him, and you very clearly see early on the younger brother is, well, they say retarded. They're not worried about political correctness. I guess mentally challenged would be the way you say it now. And the brother has been gone for a long time, and so it's a surprise when he comes home. And essentially, he winds up staying for a short visit, and so you see the community of the bathhouse. You see the father's role in the community, which is that of a mentor, a friend, somebody who helps solve other people's problems, a wise advisor. And even the brother has his place in the community where he's well accepted. And it just, as you say, it kind of talks about what's important in your life. A lot of reviews I saw said it highlights the difference between family and tradition and the new ways and the old ways, but I don't think that's necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Like, one is like the old ways are better than the new ways. And I was like, I don't think that's so, because the father tells a couple of stories about the old ways in northern China, where it's very much a desert, a cold desert. And you don't get the feeling he wants to go back there. You get the feeling he loves his bathhouse for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I suppose you could take that as one aspect, you know, the shower. You know, the shower that they show at the very opening of the movie is like a car wash. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost a display of technology. And then the bathhouse would be the opposite of technology or the old. But you're right. When he talks about his own past, he's happy to be where he is. He doesn't want to go back. So it's like this way is better, even though it's like the middle way. It's not the the new way or the old way, really.
Yeah.
As far as his son goes, you know, there is a, you know, a sort of at the beginning, a disrespect or a indifference to the ways of his family. And he goes off to the business world and does his thing and seems to be enjoying it just fine, although he's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene where he's taking a shower in the bathhouse. Yeah. And his dad's like, what the heck? what are you doing?
I'll fill a bathtub for you because it's all been cleaned out for the day. And he's like, oh, no, a shower. I've gotten used to a shower. And his father gets this look on his face and like, really? Then you don't need this hot water, do you? But a lot is done in this movie with expressions on faces. And there's a lot inferred because we know that the brother went away for his career, and we know he's somewhat estranged from the family by the reactions of the father when he comes back. And the reason he came back is because his brother, he shows his brother a picture and goes, why did you send me this picture? And he says, well, dad's sleeping and I'm sitting by him and I missed you. And you see the picture and it looks like he's dead. It looks like the father's dead.
Yeah, yeah. And that was interesting, too, knowing what happened, you know, all the way throughout the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes even more interesting, as if maybe he knew or was seeing signs and didn't really know how to communicate.
I didn't take it that way. I just, I don't think that brother had it in him to think that much
about
that kind of thing.
It's almost like a channeling of something where...
Yeah.
I've got to get a message to my brother, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't feel that way at the moment, but after the movie was over, I thought, maybe there was something there.
Yeah, maybe. It's never hit me that way. I just always thought it was a hilarious way to illustrate the brother and show what it would take to get the brother back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the father is so happy to see him, and they're sitting eating, and he says, oh, I just came for a short visit, and the brother goes and gets the picture and says, I sent him this, and he takes one look, and his face changes, and he puts it down and says, well, now that you can see I'm alive, you can leave anytime. You know, so, but yeah, a lot is done in this movie without really talking about it anyway. Like, after the father dies at the end, and the brother is watching the... Arming, who's the younger brother, he's watching the dung beetle documentary about the mother has done this to help her offspring get going, and it dies by the elephant dung ball. And will it live or will it not? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What are the conditions like for it to thrive? It has to rain. You have to have water for it to thrive, which has been the theme of the whole thing, has been water.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, one other thing that kind of points towards technology, or it just points towards a difference of the way that they think, is when the older brother buys his father these two electric devices to do pretty much what this guy does for other people.
I know.
And that was funny stuff.
Yeah, the foot massager and the back massager.
Exactly. And... yeah, here, after spending all day doing that, here, have this machine do it for you. And he's like, oh, that feels terrific. And then he said, all right, I'm going to go buy my ticket.
I'm like, oh,
see you later. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he takes his brother with him and doesn't pay enough attention to him. And the brother wanders off in Beijing on his own, and they can't find him.
Yeah.
But that's when, I guess, that's when more real emotions come out. He's like, I already lost one son. why did you have to take my other son away from me or something like that? And he's like, you know.
Yeah.
So in this short visit, he's learning also the value of the people around him, because you find out at one point the father has never even met the wife.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's never met the oldest son's wife.
And when the son is on the phone after his father dies, he says, well, I never told you that I have, my younger brother is retarded. Mm-hmm. He's like, hello, hello. And she's hung up on him.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like, what a great gal. But you wonder if that's why he never brought her back, because yeah. She would see that and he's embarrassed of all of it.
Right. Somebody who prefers the city or whatever, prefers the life that they have. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't see those things anyway, because it's really just centered around the bathhouse, the little city square, the little neighborhood square where that they run by, the father and the son take evening jogs together. And that's when you start to see their really wonderful relationship of, you know, the old man is so loving of his son, and they have this great relationship where it's not condescending at all. Like when they're racing, they'll stop by the corner and say, race you, 1, 2, 3. And the son always jumps before the three. Mm-hmm. But the father, oh, look at this down here on the ground. And he comes around and looks, and the father takes off. So they have these little games they play with each other that allow them to enjoy each other's company.
Right. Yeah. And you see all that. And then I really enjoyed how the oldest brother seems to be learning about who his dad really is. Mm-hmm. Because at the moment after he loses his little brother, and his mm-hmm. little brother returns, you know, that seemed to have changed him a little bit. But then you start to see his dad doing things for the patrons of the shower, or patrons mm-hmm. of the bathhouse,
mm-hmm.
Helping them in deeper ways than just baths. And, you know, he's witnessing all this.
Right.
And I think it changes his whole attitude.
Yeah, because it's interesting. He doesn't interfere really unless there's a huge crisis or someone comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see there's the two old men who have the cricket fights. They breed and raise crickets and they fight them, and they have a huge fight, and he sees all this, but he doesn't get involved in it. Very un-American. In an American movie, that guy would be in there kind of making suggestions, helping them work it out. The husband and wife who are estranged, the husband seems kind of, he's small and henpecked seeming. Mm-hmm. And, but it isn't until the guy comes to him, or I guess he's hide me or whatever it is, right? The wife is yelling.
Yeah. He says he wants to leave his wife and he needs a place to stay for a few days.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he ends up talking to him then deeply, you know, in the water.
Mm-hmm. And then he tells him the story about not having any water.
Yeah, exactly.
In that one place in China, and how it's a tradition to have for the girl to have a regular bath before she goes off to get married.
Yeah.
And what that family sacrifices
in order to get water.
Do it yeah. right for their daughter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing stuff. It's really, really great. Really well done. And then I think that a real moment of respect is when this guy, the older brother's friend, shows up, but he's in trouble with some guys who need money. Mm-hmm. And his father steps right in and takes care of that. And that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know,
his son saw that too.
Yeah, he's one of these guys who's a slick businessman. He's always got a scheme. He's that shower at the beginning, that was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he could just get the funding, then he wants to do a chain of hot dog trucks if he could just get the funding. And that's when my husband is watching it. And he goes, I love the idea that hot dogs in Beijing, hot dog trucks, they're so universal that they're going to have hot dogs. And then he's got some other idea, but he's always got a pie in the sky idea. And it's after those thugs are chasing him that he says, it's time to quit dreaming.
Yeah.
Get real, you know,
right.
Settle down.
Yeah.
And the brother lends him all that money.
Yeah. And I love that type of character. That's, you know, he's influencing everybody positively around mm-hmm. him, you know. And his son realizes that. And I thought that was really well done.
Well, yeah. And by even providing that atmosphere for them, although it is his business, but all the regulars there get to know each other's problems too. And so, like the kid who can only, he loves to sing O Sole Mio, and he can only do it when he's in the shower. And the father says, oh, he's got a psychological problem. He can't perform in front of people, a minor psychological problem. He can't perform in front of people, but he's signed up to sing at the, I love this, it's the community cultural party. Because since this was made in 1999, it's funny to think how different the atmosphere was in China and how we thought of China, too, as now.
Wow. Yeah, that's doesn't seem like that long ago, but
no, man. If this was made in 1999, it's 15 years old, and it was very definitely, there was business and big buildings and everything, but it was very communist-oriented. You know, so the people would go around with the red armbands, the lady organizing things. But when you'd go by it, when they'd run through this little square, you'd see the ladies practicing their fan dance that they're going to do there. You'd see the kid, they're doing the run-through. The guy's standing there, he can't sing because he'll be in public. And he can sing in the shower, and Arming mm-hmm. loves it. He just, the minute that happens, he just stops and there's this huge open smile on his face. Well, he just absorbs the music, mm-hmm. but the little henpecked guy hates it. And you get the feeling later it's because he was so miserable himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he always turns the water off. And the minute the water stops, the kid can't sing. So Arming then will go and start bouncing him off his chest and stuff. What's wrong with you? Why do you do that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a little bit of a shocking scene for me.
Yeah,
when he started getting physical and bouncing that little guy around, I was like, oh no, you know, something horrible's, you know, of mice and men's going to happen here or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you start to get that little feeling. And, but it's funny how nobody in there reacted really. And then something stopped him from continuing. I don't remember how they got interrupted, but.
Well, didn't he just turn the water on again?
No. And that one, I remember them looking in response to somebody who walked in or something, but.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really interesting to see this story from another culture because, mm-hmm. you know, this could be an American movie. And as you said, there would be some differences, but, you know, one of the differences is things like that one, you know, that, you know, well, how close everybody is anyway. I think it has something to do with our personal bubbles.
Yeah.
And, you know, how close everybody is, physically throughout the whole movie is something that I don't think you'd see in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know you wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
So, but I found it all really excellent.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, that bathhouse is, that looks like a pretty cool place to me.
I know. They offered everything, foot massage, pedicure, that bubble treatment on your back to, I looked that up. I can't remember what it's called. I should have written it down, but where they heat the bubble and they use the pressure to, it makes these huge red wheels on your back.
Huh.
But it's the idea is it's kind of similar to me in my mind of like an acupuncture sort of a concept. You know, they're treating various things by, you know, I don't know, pulling parts of
some kind of chi balancing something or other,
something like that.
Yeah.
But and I have to say the other thing. And this is so obvious because we know it. Mm-hmm. But you think of China, and you think, well, yeah, everybody there is regular like us, but they're not really regular like us because they're a different culture. And then you see this movie and you go, they're exactly like us.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of shows that universality. That retarded brother, and I'm just going to say that word because that's what they said, but he, you know, from the second you see him, the look on his face, the way he acts, you know exactly what his condition is.
Mm.
That's universal.
Yeah, yeah.
The problems that the father, the older father and the son are having, I mean, the older father, the older son and the father are having, those are universal problems. All those problems that everybody's having, we know and understand all of them.
Yes, we do. Yep.
Yeah. Even the most cultural one, which to me was the little henpecked guy who had gotten into a big misunderstanding with his wife because she was in a women's bathhouse and somebody had stolen a gold chain. And so she was completely naked, but he'd given it to her and she'd always worn it. So she goes running down the street screaming. And he goes, the thief is so paralyzed, he can't move. So she snatches it back and he goes, and she was proud to tell me, proud. Hmm. And he goes, she didn't see, she made me lose face because she did this. And okay, an American would go, good for her.
Yeah.
it had such sentimental value. But we also understand there's that thing of a personal man's pride, too, in how other people would look at him. And so whether or not we agree with it, we can see both sides.
Yeah, certainly. And isn't that interesting in contrast? We really haven't talked about one of the things that's going on in their community is that the whole neighborhood's slated for demolition in order to build high rises. Mm-hmm. And isn't that interesting in contrast to that personal moment where he's, you know, got his honor or whatever, his face, you know, but nobody is saying, hey, we've got to stop this neighborhood from being torn down. Everybody accepts it 100%. And I remember one scene where the family is just eating dinner and they're talking about this. And the father's reaction is, well, I don't know if it's really true or not. I keep hearing all this stuff and I've heard it for years, but you know, who knows what's going to happen. And he, I mean, there's a concern there, but it's not like we've got to stop this. It's just, well, what's going to happen is going to happen.
Well, and I think in communist China of the time, I don't know if you could stop it. I mean, I guess you could go talk to the council. The woman who kind of, the neighborhood woman who's telling the father that the brother overhears says, well, it's final now. It's going to happen in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just says, well, the council's finally decided.
Wow.
So you don't know what the other influences were that kept them from deciding or made it get put off. But you're right. And in an American movie, it would have been moved way up. It would have been a major concern. Everybody would have been talking about it. And in this movie, it's left almost to the very end. And it's just brought up as kind of a little side issue in a sense, because what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. And at the very end, and this is after the father's dead and the bathhouse is open again for a while before the brothers leave, then you see the people talking about where they're going to live. But they're not even talking about it like, I'm going to miss this place so much. They just, wow, I hope they have a bathhouse nearby. Or the husband and wife saying, oh, we're going to have a modern shower in our new apartment and we're going to have, you know, I don't know, romantic showers. That's how they put it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I kept expecting, you know, some big, you know, Da Ming is going to say, well, I am building a bathhouse and we're all going to live together, you know, in this new neighborhood or something like that. But that moment never happened. And, you know, that may be my American movie training or whatever, you know, having seen so many films that it's like, well, this is what's going to happen, you know, but it never did, you know, that end. You know, even when they were moving, there was a moving crew and they were moving all this stuff out. And I was thinking, well, where are they moving it to? They must have built a new one or are going to build a new one. I kept waiting for his announcement that I've built another one, but no, that never happened.
No, you don't know where they're moving it to. Just things are, it's kind of like real life. Everybody, goodbye, goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But well, and in fact, that makes me think of, you know, we watched a long time ago, Mostly Martha, that German movie.
Mm-hmm.
About the chef. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Another great one.
Yeah. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. But in that movie, the way it ends is it's concerned with personal relationship. We don't know what their jobs are or anything. We assume they're the same. They're going to get the little girl. Well, there's an American version that's called No Reservations. And it has, oh, gosh, Catherine Zeta-Jones and Antonio Banderas, maybe, and whoever the little favorite girl of the flavor of the month was in Hollywood then. And that movie ends with them having their own restaurant, and the little girl is waiting tables for them.
Hmm.
It's a very different emphasis. I mean, it shows them all happily together, but they've created a successful business. And I never really thought about the contrast between those two because I only saw the American version because my mom and I were watching movies. And I thought, oh, she'll – mostly Martha was a little dark for what my mother was going through at the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, let's see what the American version's like. That'll be probably more acceptable. And it was really simplified in a lot of ways and glossed over in a lot of ways that I really didn't like. But the ending to me was the most painful. And it's because of that, they just shifted it for what the American audience expects to be a happy story. But it was all about the business they had together as, you know, they're successful together as chefs in business. Mm-hmm. And here's the little girl participating in that.
Well, so that's really interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to think about, you know, these cultural differences and how, mm-hmm. you know, that, you call it capitalism or whatever, the focus on the business as the kind of the center mm-hmm. of the success of American family. That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought that line before.
No, but if they remade this, you feel like they would have been fighting together the community, you know, the
because there's, business. Yeah, they're fighting, you know, this is our business and we're going to fight for it. And
yeah. And it's just a faceless decision that's put down there. And so everybody's just focusing on where are they going to move? And they're talking about it pretty happily. And I mean, because what can they do?
Yeah, sure.
And the, in fact, the two old men, one of them says, I'm going to give up crickets. And, oh, really? Well, yeah, I understand above the ground floor and I'm going to live in an apartment building above the ground floor. They die. So I'm going to have to do something else. So they're just, ooh, that's interesting. I know, right? So they don't worry about the fact that they're going to change this. They're just, oh, well, what will I do now? And so that's a very un-American way of looking at it. And also in a way, though, it's kind of a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
It's focusing on the positive. And I realize this is just a movie. There are probably plenty of people who'd be very upset in China if that kind of thing happened. But it's that thing of, well, what do we do now?
Yeah. It's a focus on, okay, well, what's next? Let's.
And the movie leaves a few things open anyway. I mean, not only just the ending, because you don't know what's going to happen with Da Ming and Ar Ming, because he says, well, I don't know what we'll do, but here's what I do know. We'll be together. I'll never leave you alone again. After he's tried to leave him so he could go for a couple months and kind of get his wife ready. And you kind of feel like it's a good thing he went back because maybe it would just be easy to think, oh, he's okay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at this point, you're like, well, you might not be married. We don't know what will happen.
Right,
it's going to be horribly difficult. But the two stories that are told, those water stories, I find them, I've seen this movie, I can't even count the time, 6, 7, 8 times. We show it to everybody. It's one of our family movies. If you've never seen this, you've got to see this movie. But I still don't really understand the stories being in there that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, some things I get, they contribute, you know, what's really important, what's worth sacrificing for. And I think, is it just the Americanization of me that doesn't understand why those stories are always told where they're told and what they mean to the people who hear them?
Yeah. So he on one of them, he talks about, you know, the bath of the lady who's going to get married, right?
Mm-hmm, the young girl.
And then the other one is the walking a very, very long distance to have a single bath in a lake.
A sacred lake in Tibet where if you wash in it, it not only cleans you, but it clears away all the soul or sins from your soul. And it shows a grandmother and a granddaughter walking on foot for months to do this. And the granddaughter says, won't it be too cold to take a bath? Because she's the most adorable little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandmother says, well, you can only do it every so often. And the next time will be 12 years from now. And I might be dead then. And they're
What was the context of that one being told again?
That was toward the end.
Yeah, it was very near the end. But I'm trying to remember.
Arming, it's after the father's dead. Arming says, "My father told me." Because remember, he started to tell it because it was one of the pictures on the wall by his
right,
bed.
Right, yeah.
And the brother says, "Well, you can take all those with you tomorrow." But later on, I'm trying to remember where it's inserted. And I've seen this so many times, you'd think I'd have it memorized.
Yeah, just it's just but interesting.
It's so randomly dropped in there.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's almost, you know, like a confession type of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Where, or a baptismal situation.
And then, yeah, or a baptismal situation. Also the... You know, the statement that, you know, this is the time that this needs to be done, you know, because there may not be another time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's an acceptance of the older brother's situation, and this is the time that things need to happen. Remember, he tried to put his little brother somewhere for a few months
mm-hmm.
and said, "Here, if you could hang out here for a couple months, then I will." Isn't it interesting that he wouldn't allow his friend to take his brother? I wonder if that was a cultural thing.
But they were offering very strongly. But I think he felt that it was his... I think he learned to love his brother again by then. And he,
sure. But, you know, he wasn't trying to let him have, you know, take him forever. He was...
Yeah.
But rather than put him in an institution for 2 months, why wouldn't he let his friend have him for...
I know. That would have been the better way. Well, maybe that was him still trying to impose those outside ideas.
Yeah, maybe
I will control this situation.
The last shreds of that. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of wonder because when he comes back, you know, he's just completely panicked. There's four people tackling him because he's just so freaked out. He's running and screaming and, you know, calling for his father and because he really has a limited level of understanding. And you've learned to love him by then because he is so open. You know exactly what he feels. I love the thing where, is it after maybe he's gotten him from there and they go back to the bathhouse?
Mm-hmm.
And the brother's walking along behind him doing that thing he does with the stick against the wall, making the noises as he goes. And every time Daming turns around, Arming turns his back on him. Stops and turns his back on him. And Daming turns back around and starts walking. And then Arming goes ahead and walks behind him some more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, but it's that physical expression of what's inside.
Wow. Yep, sure enough.
I know. And the closest I got to really having some kind of understanding of those two scenes dropped in there, because they really add this mystical quality. I cannot express enough how they take you into a completely different world. I mean, they're like, and they're beautifully shot. They're like, I don't know, they're like seeing one of these movies like Hero, a Chinese movie, or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they're just something so foreign and different about them. To me, anyway, and maybe because I don't understand exactly why they're there, what's going on. And but I was reading some of the reviews on Amazon, wondering if anybody mentioned them. And somebody just made the point of there's not always you can't always pin everything down, that sometimes things that don't make sense are so important that they have to be done. And of course, that makes me think of, I mean, we're just getting done with Lent. Easter's this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that if you're not going to give yourself up to it, looks incomprehensible to the outside.
Yeah, that's true.
Or even the idea of baptism, which does exactly what those Tibetan people were going to do in that lake. It washes away your sins for real.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we start right back up again. But
that's right. Yeah. And there is a, you know, if not now, when type of a mm-hmm. attitude there too. Yeah, I agree with everything you've said there. They are certainly completely different tone from the movie, you know, in that way that really does nail the mystical experience that, you know, takes you right out of there. And, shows you something that maybe you can't quite understand at the moment.
Maybe it's about, and this is a note I wrote, I don't know when I had this thought, but the sacrifice for what's important.
Mm-hmm.
doesn't always make sense to people.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to other people. That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you do that?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, why would you not accept this promotion, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make any sense to someone who is kind of on a different path or doesn't understand your situation.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, especially with the differences between the cultures like you're talking about. That is, you really got me thinking about that. I mean, that's really interesting. That's so ingrained in that we can watch a movie like this and say, well, an American movie would do this. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a cultural difference, you know, and there's good and bad in both cultures, right?
Right.
Right. You know, things that we can take and leave.
Right. Well, and then when you think about the whole reason we're doing this podcast, we're expressing a culture that is completely foreign to people. And we live with that layer of our culture every single day and every single minute.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not with always at high consciousness, but for decisions we make, encounters with people, how we react to things, it's always informed by our Catholicism.
Yep, I agree.
Or should be.
Yep, it should be.
But I guess those are some of the things that we go to confession for. When they're not.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
So you said you have not seen, you've maybe seen one other Chinese movie.
Well, if you call Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a Chinese movie, then yes, well, I have seen that one. Yep.
It's Chinese. I mean, they loved it.
Yep.
Nice. It was made for them, I think.
Was it? That's Wasn't cool. It? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
For us?
Yep. I don't know the answer.
It was all in Chinese. If it was remade for us, they did a terrible job of explaining some things.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Because I saw it on a plane to Germany to visit my brother and his family a long time ago. And I had so much trouble telling people apart. But, you know, there are other Chinese movies like Hero, which I was so surprised you hadn't heard of that.
No,
but,
I have not.
Man, now there's a movie we'll have to watch sometime. That's just such cool. A great, great movie. Oh my gosh. And and very different from this, much more epic in style. But then there are other littler movies that I have them on a list, and every so often I'll get one and try it out. And it's just interesting. I like those looks into different cultures and the little stories that people tell.
Yeah.
I like that, those little visits to those worlds.
Me too. Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
You said this movie, you felt a personal connection to it.
Well, there's a few personal connections to it, actually. But, you know, from the technological standpoint, you know, as far as just the idea of progress, mm-hmm. and how it affects people and how, you know, you're leaving things behind. In order to progress, you're leaving certain things behind, and making decisions about what to leave behind and what to move forward from. That's stuff that I think about a lot. You know, part of what I do for a living is progress. You know, the automation and things. So that's always been an issue. You know, even when I'm working in manufacturing plants and things where they're, you know, people are always greet you with a little bit of fear and about, you know, okay, well, I'm going to redo this process and we're going to automate it and we're going to put some machines in here. And there's always people that are working right there going, I wonder what that's going to do to me.
Right.
And, you know, you're shaking up my way of life, you know. Moving the cheese. I've heard that phrase a lot of times. You know, there's some book called Who Moved My Cheese?
Okay.
But normally I found that what happens is it changes a person's duties rather than eliminates positions. Although in the long term, as far as, you know, attrition and things, that's normally how things like that are handled. But in the long term, it normally takes less people to do the same amount of work. After, you know, I'm done doing my job.
Right.
But there's always jobs there, and the jobs may be slightly different. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so the idea of change and moving on and progress is something that's always on my mind. And this movie did remind me of that. And mm-hmm. I'm working on that shower right now. I've got the plans right here somewhere.
Yeah, that perfect hair drying thing. Yeah. I want to see that. That seems like a good idea.
That is funny. That is funny.
Well, and this is a movie that, and once again, very much like The Castle, which is another, as I said, of those family movies where we're always like, you haven't seen it, it's great. I didn't realize until I looked up some stuff that this movie was shot on a shoestring. And the producer is Canadian, I believe. He started this little production company, but obviously working with just Chinese people. So my husband said, well, maybe he was in Hong Kong or something, because it didn't have a lot of information on him. But this was the second movie they did. And according to the producer, he had to go out and beg for a cast. And he was even considering hiring a real mentally challenged amateur actor for the role of Arming when Zhang Wu approached him and requested the role. So they did the shoot, the Beijing shoot, in 43 days with 18 to 20 hour days and one day off.
Holy smokes.
The actors took naps between shots on the beds available in the bathhouse on set.
Wow.
And then, to even add to the hard luck story, they got it wrapped in May of 1999, and they couldn't really release it because of the poor domestic market in mainland China. So they waited and premiered it at the Toronto Film Festival in September, and it won this prize. So pretty soon it's getting invited to all these film festivals, and it's winning all these prizes, and distribution rights were sold to 56 countries. And they had recouped double of their budget of $350,000 in advances alone. And after all that, then it opened at home in China in November.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So this movie almost didn't get out there.
Holy sky. That's neat.
Yeah.
That is something else.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool to work on something that hard and have it be success.
Yes.
That is something. Yeah. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who have worked that hard on things that have not panned out. But
oh, well, yes. Iron Giant. Let's start with that.
Iron Giant.
You've seen that, right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But it did introduce us to Brad Bird, so we felt like that was...
Yeah.
And he probably didn't feel like it was a great sacrifice at the time for us to know
that's
about
it. That's funny.
Him.
Yeah, there was a quality, a really nice quality about that movie. But it just... totally failed, right?
Yeah, because it wasn't promoted very well, mm-hmm. and it wasn't distributed very well. And that's another one where, you know, the animators had been sleeping in cots in the offices so they could finish it on time. And it was just, you know, it sounded like a nightmare.
Wow.
And it's a great little movie.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, I just, I'm looking at it on IMDb now, and I'm trying to remember all the details. But I remember liking it very much. And there was, like I said, this quality of it that I remember. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well, I saw it in the background, kind of peripherally, many times because we immediately bought it as soon as it was available, and then the kids would watch it.
Nice.
A lot.
Yeah. Brad Bird.
We've always been about supporting animation.
Yeah. I am also an animation fan. Yeah,
we've never let it be something being animated stop us from watching it. Let me put it that way.
I love it. Yeah, so. My daughter was given an assignment. You need to watch a movie with the Spanish subtitles on, you know, in her Spanish class.
Oh, okay.
That was over a spring break.
Okay.
And she pops in Ratatouille. I love that. That was neat.
What? You are doing a good job raising.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, no, there's a movie I love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, enough of that.
I love it. Well, thanks for this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I never would have crossed paths with this movie.
I'm glad you
liked
it.
I'm sure that I wouldn't have, but I really enjoyed it. It goes in the pool room.
Good, because it's in
the pool room. Yeah.
In the pool room, mate. Well, and I was thinking, that's why my husband and I, we talked about it for some time after we watched it, because I said, how many times do you think we've seen this? He just starts laughing and goes, I have no idea. And we hadn't watched it for a couple of years. And I said, so what do you tell people about why to watch it? And he's like, oh my gosh, who would not want to watch this? It's just such a great movie with heart. And, you know, and he goes, but not sappy and not, I mean, he just, he couldn't really pin it down.
Yeah. And there is, that's a really good word. The sappy, it doesn't go across that line, which is, you know, amazing. Well, you know, and, in a way, you know, you watch this movie and it, like, it doesn't cross that line into just like, oh, this is just, you know, oh, it's really, really well done.
Yeah, because again, an American movie would not hesitate to have at least one moment definitely designed to bring you to tears.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Yeah.
And this may do it, but it's never had that effect on me, but yet I will think about it for some time after I've seen it. Because it reminds you of what's important.
Yes, exactly. And we can't get enough of that.
No.
And that alone is reason enough to watch this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can't recommend it highly enough. Everybody should go watch it. Although we've ruined every surprise. But it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Look how many times I've seen it. It's still wonderful.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, cool. All right. So what is coming up here? What do we got? I'm clicking in there. Next up is The Rosie Project.
Oh, yeah.
Right. By Graham Simsion, who we try to pronounce every single time.
I was just thinking that, who yet again, we don't know how to say his name.
Poor fella.
We're going to maintain that proud tradition to the end.
I love it. And then we've got Jesus, A Pilgrimage by James Martin.
Our religious
book. That's great. I was reading that last night.
Oh, yeah?
Love it. Yeah.
How far along are you in that?
I'm about, I would say, a quarter of the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good. Glad the Rosie Project is short.
Yes. I am enjoying it. And then I finally picked a movie. I Confess, the Alfred Hitchcock, one of his early films, Montgomery Clift, is the,
is I am
the
there.
Lead, and he's a priest in that movie. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. It's all coming into line. I had, it's funny. I know nothing about it except somebody from our movie group had recommended it. And I just thought of it as I Confess to the Cops.
Oh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
It didn't even occur to me that there could be a priestly confession.
Yeah, yeah. The lead character is a priest.
Okay.
And then.
Even more interested now.
Yes, cool. Good deal. And then on June 12th, we're going to read The Source by James Michener.
Mm-hmm, another nice short one.
Yeah.
You're going to have to read faster.
We are just going to break the page count record.
I know.
I love it.
I know, but I remember reading that a really long time ago and really liking it. And
And I've started that. I've read the first chapter, which is not really part of the main story. It's kind of, you know, archaeologist it opens up with.
And, it's the framework.
Exactly. And very good. Yeah, I've read James Michener, too, and this is really hitting the spot. I enjoy him.
How much have you – what of his books have you read?
I read one called Space, which is probably atypical.
Well, and, not for you.
Yeah. I mean, atypical for Michener as far as subject matter.
Right.
And then I'm trying to recall which one I read. It was Alaska or... Didn't he write one called Alaska? Or there was also one called Hawaii. And I remember reading at least the beginning of Hawaii because it opens with a volcano.
Who wouldn't want to read that? Come on.
Yeah, it's like on the first day there was a volcano. And then,
And everyone said it is good or it is fearful.
Yeah, it's like writing instructions to make an apple pie and starting with creating the universe. Carl Sagan quote or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said, if you want to learn how to make an apple pie from scratch, you first have to create the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God's apple pie.
Exactly.
Well, and a lot of the Michener books have suddenly become available on the Kindle because
oh, nice.
I was looking 2 or 3 months ago and there were maybe 3 books or 4 books. And all of us, I was looking recently thinking, well, because if I was going to read any of his big books other than were assigned to me or selected for our enjoyment, let me put it that way. That's it. Not assigned. That's such a negative word. But it would be Texas.
Ah, right? Texas, right.
I read a book about Texas. And so I thought, well, I wonder if that was one of those 4 books. And I look and I'm like, there's pages and pages. I'm like, oh, suddenly the publisher got busy and all this stuff is on here. So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I'm looking at the list now. And that starts off with a little servant boy or slave boy of somebody during the conquistador era.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, ooh, I might have to read that, but not yet. I have a lot of big books to read.
Wow. Well, James Michener has written a book called The Novel.
Of course he has.
Well done. Yeah. He scratched his head on that one. Gosh, now I got to name it. What the heck? What am I going to come up with?
I know. I've only written 1,000 of these things.
So. Oh, that's too funny.
Well, that'll be good, though.
Yeah. Well, good. Good, good, good.
Historical fiction.
So, right. So that'll get us into June.
I know. Wow. And now we're going to delay the next one by a week. Is that
by
right?
By a week. Yeah, just because of my travels. But the rest of the schedule will stay the same. So we'll have... this next one will be out in 3 weeks and then the one after that will be a week.
Yep.
Yep.
So in the meantime, I would like to suggest, because there's no conceit about me or anything I would suggest, go back and listen to some of the old ones because I actually have been doing that. I can't remember
why.
Oh,
that's cool.
Because I reread Night Watch, and I said, oh, we did this. I wonder what we said about it. I don't remember anymore. It was a long time ago. And I went and listened and was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then I said, you know, what did we say in the first one? How did we sound? Were we really different?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad to report we were amazing.
Oh my god!
I'm just having a good time now. But
the reefers are the angels. Good story number one. How about that? That's too funny.
I know.
I wonder how old Alden Bell is doing anyway.
Well, I read that second book, which you very kindly gave me, and it was terrible.
Not good, huh?
In my opinion, it was very awful.
Shoot.
But I was really actually surprised at how we dove right in and. I was glad.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
But what it did is make me look at some of them and go, oh, what are some of these other words I might need to listen to? So I just recommend that. If there are some you skipped, go back and listen to them.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic. Yeah, I would recommend In Bruges.
You need something to shake you up. That is what you want.
Oh, shoot. That is funny.
You listened to Gravity in order to prepare for that movie group.
Exactly. That was fun.
How did that go?
Oh, it went just fine. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. What a movie that is. You know, and then, yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I should listen to that podcast. So let's do it yet again.
For the fifth time or whatever.
Yeah.
You can have memorized all those points.
I'm enjoying my Mexican directors right now.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I still like, you know, Del Toro and Cuarón. I'm like working my way through everything. So I think I've got E2 Mama Tambien coming from Cuarón, which I think may have been his first one.
Or one of the first ones.
Yeah, so I'm going to give that a watch and see.
That'll be interesting.
And I did watch Children of Men. I need to talk to Cizanca because he said there's something in common between Children of Men and Gravity. And now I'm really putting him on the spot because I certainly can't see it.
Well, and I remember reading Jeffrey Overstreet's review of it. He used to be a reviewer that I discovered at Christianity Today, and now he's kind of on his own. But he's got a blog at Pathos.
Mm-hmm.
He just, as a matter of fact, posted the second part of a 2-part commentary on Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Where he and somebody else who's a film critic just talked about it for what they liked and what they didn't like, not as critics, but as people watching the movie. And I read that because I was interested in that. but I remember him talking about Children of Men and saying, yeah, he changed it around and stripped out a lot of the Christian stuff from mm-hmm. that the book had, which wasn't like super, you know, top layer in the book anyway, but he was pointing out other things in it that actually did reinforce a Christian message, like the fact that they're in a stable when the baby's born or something like that. Things like that. I don't remember. If I was going to watch the movie again, I'd go back and find that. So you might want to look for that.
Okay, I'll do that.
From Jeffrey
Overstreet. Thanks very much. Yep.
Yeah, and then I watched Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's good news.
Yeah. And I'm not somebody who just rushes to see Shakespeare, yeah. which is why it took me this long, and having all the movies on my list gone from the video store before I went, well, okay. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really good. It was good to the point where I was stunned by putting it on my birthday list.
Oh, nice.
I got done watching. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the story of that movie, too. They've kind of filmed it in its house and things.
Mm-hmm. So 12 days.
That's really neat.
And the acting style is such that it was all done so naturally. As my husband said, one of the things he doesn't like about Shakespeare is everybody does tend to declaim it a bit as if they were still standing on a stage, even when they're in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of get into the iambic pentameter or something and just start, you know, the cadence going, and these people all just said it as if they were talking.
Huh.
So it was much more natural seeming.
That's cool.
Yeah. And Nathan Fillion, let's just continue the love here. He's the comic relief as the head of security, Dogberry.
Oh, I love it. That's
and
good.
That's when I went, oh my gosh, what makes or breaks it? And I know everybody knows this but me, because I don't ever watch this kind of thing. The acting that's going on when they're not talking. Some of the double takes and the little hesitant reactions and the way people would, the expressions that he would have. We were just sitting there laughing out loud. So I believe Shakespeare would have been proud.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to see that. Yeah. I saw it on DVD. I haven't rented it either, but I am going to.
Well, okay then.
Yeah. Indeed. All right. Well, everybody have a great few weeks.
Yes.
We'll be back.
We will. Never fear.
Never fear. You bet.
Shut us up.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.